Amen. Wow. Amen. Freed the captives then, and you're freeing hearts right now, because you're the same God. Praise the Lord. Just as God set the children of Israel free from their slavery to Egypt, He can set you and me free from our bondage to sin and from being trapped and tangled in the things of this world. And I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about wrong attitudes, bad temperaments, priorities, bad desires, jealousies. And the list could go on and on. You know what you deal with. I know what I deal with. But we worship and sing praises because we've been set free. And we can be set free. If you haven't been set free, you can be. And we're being set free daily as we keep our eyes on who? Jesus. That's right, on the good Lord. The one who gave His life to redeem us, to rescue us, to reconcile us, and to reclaim a relationship with us. Just as the Israelites stood on the banks of the sea and reflected on all that God had done to set them free, and they worshiped, let us today reflect on all that God has done to set us free, and let us worship. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I cry out to You right now that You would just anoint me with Your Holy Spirit. Father God, that You would hide me behind the cross, that I would be a mouthpiece, an instrument in Your hands. And sweet Jesus, that You would move in a powerful way today in the hearts and the lives of people that are in this room, people that are listening on the podcast and watching on the webcast. Lord, I just pray that Your message will go out boldly and strongly and transform lives. Father God, You know the needs of many in our congregation. Please be with them and help us to be there for them when we can. Lord, You know the needs of our nation. You know the needs of this world. Father God, if there was ever a time when we need to fall on our knees and look to You, it's now. So Lord Jesus, we invite Your Holy Spirit to move mightily in this place. We submit and surrender our wills to Yours and our hearts and minds to You today. For it's in the sweet name of Jesus I pray and I believe. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm very, very thankful for what the Lord is going to do in our hearts and lives today. Turn this chair around here. And let me ask you a question. Which comes first, worship or reflection? I think it's either. We worship the Lord, and when we do, it causes us to reflect on what God has done. Amen? And then when we reflect on what God has done, it causes us to worship. Because we're like, wow, look what God has done, right? And so either is fine and proper and leads us to a good place in our lives, and it transforms our ability to lead with our very lives. Now, why do I say that? Because confidence to lead comes when we look back at what God has done on our behalf, what He's already done, and we have no reason to think or believe that God would not continue to be faithful to keep His promises to us, because we look at how He's been faithful in the past. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. And can you imagine the scene as the Israelites stood on the banks of the sea in awe of what God had just done and reflecting on everything else that God had done in the past to free them from their slavery? And remember this verse from last week? It was Exodus 14, 31. And we're going to be in Exodus 15 today. So if you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles and open up there. It says, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. And then what happens is they erupt into song. And so they began with reflection. They saw what God had done and how the Egyptians had been handled, and they had gotten through on dry ground, and they just began to worship. And I wish we had an audio recording of that song, don't you? Wouldn't that be awesome? We don't, but we do have the lyrics, and the lyrics of that song are going to guide our message today. And this song that they sang could be even used as a guide in writing worship songs. And it's so interesting, the songs we sang today, because many of those were looking back at some of the great old hymns of the past, and we'll have one of those that we'll look at in this message. But we'll read the song, and then we'll look at the elements of the song and what they mean to our lives and our ability to lead. All right? Our passage is in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. So let's look at it. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver. He has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea, and the deep waters have overcome them, have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. And by the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them, and I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you? Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance in the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver, he is hurled into the sea." Wow. So let's look at the element of this song. Song element number one is who God is. He is highly exalted. I love this. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. All caps, Yahweh God, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The song starts out with the fact that God is highly exalted and states later that we are to exalt him. He is like no other. He is above all others. He is to be exalted because he is worthy of exaltation. The psalmist puts it this way in one of his songs. He says, I will exalt you, my God, my King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. And while our Lord is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and rich in love, he is fierce when it comes to defending his children And he will fight for his kids. He will fight for his children. In fact, our song tells us that he is a warrior. Watch this. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord, all caps, Yahweh, is his name. The Lord is a warrior and not just any warrior. He is Yahweh God, the one true creator God, God Almighty. And he fights for his children. This is a theme in the Old Testament. And we see it again in Deuteronomy. What does it say in Deuteronomy 21? When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt will be with you. When you are about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, "Hear, Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." Folks, the children of Israel needed to be constantly reminded of God's work on their behalf in the past, and that he could still be trusted today and for tomorrow. And isn't it the same way with us, with you and me, that we need to be reminded that just as God fought for the children of Israel, he fights for those who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, because they are what? Children of God. In fact, in Romans 8:14, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry," what? "Abba, Father." That means daddy, father. Very personal. "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves again so that you live in fear." And then it says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are" what? "God's children." Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And then Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Well, our song also says that he is powerful. "Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power." The psalmist once again weighs in. He says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." So this is saying that back then, God was majestic in his power over the Egyptians. They were prideful. They mocked God and his people, but God was victorious in the end along with his people. And today, God is still majestic in his power. And he still desires to use his power in the lives of his children. And in your life and in your ability to be a leader, he wants to be there. He still fights for his children. And can anybody say we're not in a spiritual war today? Wow, is Satan not fighting us today? Well, listen to these verses from the New Testament that speaks powerfully to this subject. It says in 1 John 4:4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And in Ephesians, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Does that encourage anyone in this room today? Does me. But our song goes on to say this about who God is. It says, "He is majestic in holiness, glory, and working wonders." Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. He is majestic in holiness. And this is what sets the Lord apart from all the other supposed gods. Because he is holy, he is righteous, he's just, he's fair. And the psalmist puts it this way. Notice I'm going back and forth between the Song of Moses and then some of the songs in the Psalms. It says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy, And in Isaiah we read, but the Lord Almighty will be exalted by His justice, and the holy God will be proved holy by His righteous acts. Isaiah points out that the holy God will be proved holy by His righteous acts. We see this in Moses' song because it sings of what God had done to free the people from the evil oppression of the Pharaoh and of the Egyptians. Remember, God had given the Pharaoh and the Egyptians ample chances to change their mind, you know, like 9 or 10 times, right? To do what was right, to let the people go, but they refused, and so God acted justly. It's the second element of our song, what God has done. Okay, so our song tells us about who God is and tells us about what God has done. Both horse and driver He has hurled into the sea. The Pharaoh's chariots and his army He has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of Your majesty, You threw down those who opposed You. You unleashed Your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. And remember, God can do this because God knows all things, and He's a just God and a fair God. And He gives people chance after chance after chance, just like He did them. And it says, by the blast of Your nostrils, the water piled up. The surging water stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. But You blew with Your breath, and the sea covered them, and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. You stretch out Your right hand, and the earth swallows Your enemies. The Pharaoh and his fellow oppressors had enslaved the people of Israel for many years. They had mistreated them, murdered them, and robbed the Hebrew people of their dignity and their freedom. But they couldn't overpower their God, because their God was the one true God, the Almighty God. Amen? And our song declares powerfully what God did to acquire the Israelites' freedom. But that was then. What about now? What has God done in your life to set you free from your bondage to sin? What has God done to provide for you in your life? What miracles has God worked in your circumstances so that you could continue to live out His purpose for your life? How has God helped you overcome when it looked like there was no way out, no way up, and no way forward? The psalmist wrote a song about that. He said, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayers. From the ends of the earth I call to You. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in Your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of Your wings. Notice the psalmist sings that his heart's growing faint. Anybody in here ever feel like your heart's growing faint and that you're just tired of the battle and the struggles of this old world? But he calls out to the Lord and he asks Him to lead him to the rock that is higher than he is. He then reflects on how God had been his refuge in the past and a strong tower against his past enemies. In other words, he counts his blessings from the past and longs for God to allow him to once again dwell in his tent and take refuge in the shelter of His wings. One of the most important ways that we can overcome our enemies, like the enemies of fear and depression and discouragement and anger, all of those kind of things, worry and fear, is by reflecting on what God has done in our lives in the past and worshiping God for that, and then trusting Him to continue to be faithful to do that for us in the future. And did you know there was a song written back in the 1800s by Johnson Oatman Jr. that speaks of this so perfectly? Here's the lyrics. When up on life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Amen? I love that. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. I love this last verse. So amid the conflict with the great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. So our song that we're using as our main reference today, the Song of Moses, has told us who God is, what God has done on behalf of the children of Israel. But something happened when they stepped out on faith and followed God's instructions that were given through Moses. They discover what God had become. Watch this. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God. We know from our text that Moses and the people sang this song together. So why does it say the Lord is my strength and not our strength? You ever wonder about little things like that? I believe this shows that while the hymn they were singing was a corporate song, a congregational song to be sung together, watch this, it had personal implications for the individuals who were singing the song. Just like on Sundays when we gather here to worship together through song as a congregation, it's wonderful to sing together, but it has application for you and for me. Paul said this. He said, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Speaking to one another, what? With psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, we do this together, but he says, make music from your heart to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is your strength, your defense. He has become your salvation if you have allowed him to do that. He is your God, and you should praise him and exalt him. If you have not allowed him to be your personal Savior and Lord, then the songs that you sing when you come here may be pleasing and fun to sing, but you will never experience the joy of the Lord until you allow him to become your strength, your defense, your salvation, and your God. The psalmist sang it this way in one of his songs. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Do you see how this kind of attitude and understanding will radically transform your confidence to be a godly leader with your life, with your words, your attitude, and your actions? And speaking of actions, song element number 4, our response. This song is so beautiful. It says, he is my God and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Our response to who God is and what God has done and who God has become in our lives should be praise and exaltation of God. I mean, how can we not be ushered into a spirit of worship when we reflect on who God is and all that God has done on our behalf and all that God has become to each one of us? And there could be a whole sermon just right there. You might love music and singing or playing an instrument unto the Lord in worship. And if you do, that should be done with great sincerity and passion. Amen? The psalmist said, my heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. But what if you're not a musician? How can you respond? How about with your speech? How about your attitudes? How about your actions? You know, we certainly don't need to do those things to be seen by men. That shouldn't be our purpose for doing those things. But people can't help but see how we act and hear what we say. And let me just say this to those of us who do love to worship with song and instruments. Do we worship God only at church on Sundays when we are singing and playing an instrument? Or do we live our faith in our lives as a form of daily worship to our Lord? God has given us the gift of life. What we do with it is our gift of worship back to Him. And let me just say this, the way we treat others, whether we agree or disagree with them, speaks loudly. Jesus was very clear that we're to even love our enemies. You're like, Pastor Larry, you could have left that part out of the message. But Jesus didn't. Sometimes we don't even love our family members or the members of the family of God, you know? I mean, it's a, so we can sing praises all day long, but God sees our hearts and He knows our hearts, and the world sees our actions. What are they seeing? Do you remember how Jesus treated the people who mocked Him and nailed Him to the cross? He prayed for them. He didn't agree with them, but He loved them. And as a result, the centurion in charge of the Roman soldiers cried out. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Does the way you live your life turn people towards God or away from Him? Are you praising and exalting God with your life? And of course, no matter how you live your life, there will be people who will reject the Lord. In fact, the Song of Moses reflects on this fact. And it's element number 5, the enemy's response. The enemy boasted, "I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them." So there will always be those who will reject your message. No matter how much you love them and try to reach them, they'll just be mean-spirited. I just want to make sure that it's not something I'm doing that turns people away, that it's not my bad attitude. Of course, no one is perfect, but we should all be doing all that we can to practice what we preach. Could I hear an amen to that? And we all know that Satan will boast and brag and threaten with the same words, right? Satan will say, "I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them." But we don't have to fear his lies. The psalmist sang a powerful song that helps me when Satan tries to frighten and intimidate me. Psalm 91:1 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." And I'll say it again, you hear me say it all the time, nothing's getting through to me unless God allows it, and if He allows it, then He's got some greater kingdom purpose, and I trust His heart and His plans for my life. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Song element number 6, what God promises. Oh, this is amazing. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. That's a promise. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. That's a promise. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands have established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Now, did you notice? He leads the people He has redeemed, and in his strength, He guides them to His holy dwelling. This song not only reflected back on the works of God in the past in their lives, but it looked ahead to what God was going to do to protect the children of Israel on their way to the promised land. And don't you know that this kind of faith that which sang about God's faithfulness in the past and in the future helped transform Moses and give him the confidence he needed to continue being a godly leader? The same applies to you and me. And don't miss the last part of verse 16. You ready? Until the people you bought pass by. The Lord paid a price back then to deliver His people from their slavery. And what a price He has paid to deliver you and me from our slavery to sin. What then shall we say in response to these things, Paul said? If God is for us, who could be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all? How will he also, not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Man, we got Jesus praying for us. Well, you know, what can I say, right? And we know the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit, Paul said. Folks, we're getting ready to sing our final song. And we're going to practice what we've heard today. We are going to reflect on what God has done through Jesus' death on the cross. And we will worship. And if you are a parent of a child in Shore Kids, who's made a decision to accept Christ, then what you can do is if they've already been baptized and you want to go get them so that they can be a part of this Lord's Supper communion, then you can make your way to go get them now, okay? And then when you get back, you can go ahead and step over to one of the tables and get the bread and the juice and then go back to your seats. And after the invitation song, I will lead us to take communion, okay? So as a church family. Now, as those parents are going, I just want to point out one last element about our song. There was a chorus. Don't you love the chorus? The part of the song that's the theme of the song that repeats over and over. It says, then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. That is amazing, folks. That's the first verse of the song that we read today, but it's really the chorus, and it repeats a theme. And so let me say it again. Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Let's pray. Father God, I'm so amazed at how you love us, how you care for us, what you've done for us. You are highly exalted. You are amazing. You are to be high and lifted up. And Lord Jesus, when we reflect back on our lives, the way you've been with us and walked with us, we are amazed. But when we think even further back at what you did on the old rugged cross to make it possible for us to be redeemed, restored, forgiven, cleansed, we reflect back on that, oh God, and we just are amazed at the price you were willing to pay to purchase our salvation. So, Father God, today as we reflect, we also worship and we give you this time of invitation. It's in your sweet name I pray and believe. Amen.